This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
Well, happy Friday afternoon, everybody. Christmas is just, well, actually, it's less than a week away. Time just flies by. This whole year has flown by, for crying out loud, and we've only got, what, about 12 more days?
Yeah. Are you ready for Christmas? You've done all your shopping and you ventured
out.
Did you venture out into the atmospheric river to get your shopping completed?
I didn't go shopping in the atmospheric river. I still call it the Pineapple Express because it's coming straight out of Hawaii, but they can call it whatever they want. I'm surprised it wasn't a cyclone bomb. You know what I mean? But yeah, what a tale of 2 days. I mean, today was absolutely gorgeous. Sun was out. My eyes didn't even, they're still trying to adjust even right now. I don't even know. It's that bright sunshine just
gets
to you.
It hurts a
little.
It
does hurt when you're not used to it.
Well, the good news is, you know, by the time we're off air, it's going to be dark
It's getting dark right now. I don't know where you're at. But,
I'm talking about like now the sun is setting. It's going to be uber dark by 6 o'clock. So.
Uber dark. Yes, it is going to be really, really dark. Well, maybe there's going to be some stars out because, you know, there still is some blue sky from what I can see out of our tainted window. Wow. But
you know what, Jeff? As you head out, the stars are out. Come on.
Shine bright like a diamond. That's what I always say. Anyways, this segment being brought to you by Sprinter Van of Salem, Mercedes Sprinter Van of Salem. I don't know why I always miss that. I just like the Sprinter Van. I just go straight for Sprinter Van and forget who it's made by. But it is made by Sprinter, and you do get great gas mileage. You can stand up in the back of that thing. It's unbelievable. If you've got kids and sports and you want to go over the mountain pass because they got 4x4s and the whole nine yards, go down and see Brian or Eli. 2405 Commercial Street Southeast in Salem.
And it'll get you through those elevated water levels if you need to. So,
you know, it will. And, you know, by the way, Mill Creek, holy smokes.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably didn't have the opportunity to venture outside today, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going down I-5, I mean, I think a couple of those campers that are, you know, kind of camping on the side of I-5 over there, well, they're tents. You know, you can see the tops of them, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Mill Creek is flooded over there by the 5 and Mission Street. And I think, I don't even think it's crested yet.
Yeah, no, there's, you know, streams and creeks and even water runoff drainage areas are all uber high right now, where you're just kind of like, that's always the big fear, is that those get to the point where they crest onto the road and now all of a sudden you have some standing water and then the hydroplaning and this and that. And that's one more reason you need that Mercedes Sprinter van.
That's exactly right. And I think Mike Gallagher had issues getting out of there yesterday, maybe even today, because Mill Creek kind of it runs through Turner as well. So, I mean, I think if you're going out of Turner and you're going on towards Delaney Road, you might not even be able to get over that road.
Well, and with the winds we had earlier this week and the power outages and everything else, I know that there were certain roads that were shut down as they were working on power lines and cleaning those up. I saw one this morning, and I saw one a couple of days ago as I'm coming into work. Had to detour a little bit.
That's funny. Well, you know what? I was cruising today just over by Claggett in Dearborn in Kaiser. And, you know, there's this farm. He's got two cows out there, and there's not a whole heck of a lot of grass for them to mow on right now.
Yeah.
So they're kind of tucked up against the hill. But that, so, I mean, Claggett is still, I mean, that's breaching too. So just be careful out there. It's going to get wild. I mean, the Willamette River might. I didn't get to take a peek at that.
Well, I think up in Clackamas, they're having some issues with high waters coming from the river. I know, of course, up in Washington State, there were, you know, numerous flood zones up there. So, yeah, you know, we're not over it all yet. We've passed the river, the atmospheric river, and now it's just going to be the scattered showers we get over the next few days.
Yeah, it's a nice reprieve. Yeah, today was phenomenal. And tomorrow, I think, it's probably supposed to be cloudy here tomorrow, but down in Eugene.
It never rains at Austin.
It never rains at Austin. I don't think it's going to rain tomorrow, which is great. I mean, I think the high is about 52 degrees down there. At least that's what they're saying right now. And they're going to actually have some sunshine at kickoff at 4:30. We're going to do the tailgater show at an undisclosed location down in South Salem.
The secret lair.
You can't access it. So don't even try.
You have to have a special invite.
That's right. Anyways, we had a game last night. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know, some people might have ventured up to Seattle for this one because the Seahawks took on the Rams for not only first place in the NFC West, but the number one seed going into the as the playoff picture in the NFL presents itself. And, of course, when it's the Rams and the Seahawks, bragging rights.
Absolutely. And what a game. I mean, went into overtime. Both scored in overtime touchdowns in Seattle. Man. What a great call, going for two.
That two-point conversion.
And winning the game.
Well, I just sat here, and at one point is your third, fourth quarter time when the Seahawks were down by 16 points. It was 30-14, and you're going, oh, this it's over. The Rams are going on. They're going to win the West. They're going to be in the number one seed. Seahawks are still in the playoffs, but, you know, they got to fight their way through it. And then Rashid Shaheed returns one on a punt for a touchdown. All of a sudden, the energy shifted.
But that wasn't like the key play of the game. I mean, then
that was the tide turner.
It was, but the other tide turner was they went for a 2-point conversion on that touchdown as well, because obviously down 16, you got to do that, or 15. And originally, it was knocked down, and.
That wasn't the one. They went for the two on that one and didn't get it. So it was the following.
You are correct.
The following touchdown that Darnold drove them down and they put it in the end zone and they went for the two. And this was kind of, you know, the game on the line. I think there was still 3 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, it went so fast that it was just kind of a blur to me.
But it was a incomplete pass, knocked down pretty much at the point of attack by a Ram defender. But then the ball shot off of his helmet and ended up in the end zone where Zach Charbonnet just kind of gingerly picked up the ball, assuming incomplete pass.
Well, as it turns out, it was a lateral.
It was a backwards pass.
Backwards pass. And I guess, is that a lateral? It kind of
that is.
But backwards pass, lateral, whatever. Thrown behind the line of scrimmage. Let's just say that.
So that means it is a live ball. And Charbonnet just kind of randomly picking it up in the end zone led to a 2-point conversion for the Seahawks, something that we wouldn't have had a few years ago without instant replay.
Yeah, that would have not happened, and it was close.
Mm-hmm.
And how they determined that, I have no idea, but I've never seen that ever happen in NFL that football was, or any type of football.
That was a definite first where, you know, instant replay saved the Seahawks game. Then they tied it up at 30, went to overtime where the Rams drove and scored, and then the Seahawks drove and scored. And when you look at the scenario from the Seahawk perspective, they needed a loss is virtually the same as a tie. So if they had kicked the field goal or the extra point and been tied, the Rams had a chance to score. Even if they didn't, a tie game benefited the Rams because of the previous matchup in LA where the Rams won over the Seahawks.
You know, it was fun to see the excitement at the end of the game from all the Seahawk players. I mean, this was a big deal. And plus the comeback coming down. How much time was left in the fourth quarter when they made their run?
About 3 minutes left in the game when they tied it up.
Okay, mm-hmm. But the run was really, it was the punt return.
Yeah.
That's when it all started.
And that was, I think, about 10 or so 10 minutes left.
I mean, I was right there with you. I thought it was over. And then all of a sudden, man. You can never count the Seahawks out, apparently.
Obviously not, but going for two. And then, of course, that 2-point conversion play in overtime that won the game. What a great call when you got, you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba over on one side. You got Cooper Kupp out there. You've got all the Shaheed out there. And to just kind of dribble the tight end out across the line of scrimmage and be wide open like that for the game-winning 2-point conversion. I thought that was, and I think that was like their second or third string tight end, too, that made this play. So
that was great. He was stoked. I think that was his first touchdown of the season. Or, I mean, touchdown.
First
whatever.
It's a 2-point conversion.
Doesn't matter. He's first catch in the end zone. How cool is that? I mean, a lot of excitement. And you know what? You got to give credit, too. the Seahawks had three turnovers, two interceptions by Darnold, and then a fumble by Kupp. He got hit hard, almost blindsided a little bit.
Yeah.
And
ball squirted out.
Yeah, got dislodged and then, you know, went into the end zone for a touchback. But they could have scored on that one, too. But, yeah, great win.
Yeah. Huge. No, and that's, you know, that's the thing. Is the one knock on Sam Darnold this year has been the interceptions. Because in two games against the Rams, he had six of them.
That's crazy.
You know, and I get it, being aggressive and this and that. And to the Rams' credit, they did a great job of disguising. One of their interceptions was literally by, like, their nose tackle, who acted like he was going to rush and then backed up into the passing lane and was just standing there for Darnold's delivery. So I'm kind of going, you know, the Rams did a great job of disguising what they were doing on defense. The other one was actually... it looked like it was man-to-man defense, and all of a sudden, the linebacker broke off his defense and was standing, once again, right there where the pass was going. So, you know, kudos to the Rams for a great defensive scheme. Kudos to the Seahawks for a big win. And now if the Seahawks win two more, they're the number one seed in the NFC going into the playoffs.
And they get a bye.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have a bye, get everybody healthy and ready to go for the playoffs, so it should be fun. So, all right, good. That's it for the NFL on this show. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN. We'll be back after these short messages.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listing
for all of your local sports.
You know, it is. And we're kicking it off.
Yeah. This past Tuesday night, we had our first high school basketball game of the year. The Sprague girls against Central. The Sprague girls dominated and took home the big W. But Charlie's out there. Planning on doing a bunch more games as this season rolls on. Our next one is actually McNary High School boys basketball, and it's part of the Candy Cane Classic tournament happening over this weekend. So it's going to be the final game for the McNary boys of the tournament. And right now we don't even have an exact start time because they got to play these first couple of games to know where they're going to be playing on Monday night.
Well, that's interesting because there's obviously a bracket.
Is there is a bracket.
In the Candy Cane Classic.
So depending on where they end up, you know, the games on Monday in this tournament, the final wrap-up games, I believe the first one's at about 2:45 in the afternoon, and the championship game would be played at about 7:45 at night. So we will know more as the weekend progresses of when we're going to have that McNary boys basketball game on Monday night, which will wrap up our December coverage of high school basketball because they all take a little bit of a break during the winter break from school. But we will be resuming and having at least one game a week throughout January and February in our basketball, high school basketball game of the week.
You know, we typically have some really good programs coming out of this this part of the state of Oregon in our beautiful city of Salem. So that 6A division, we've got some ball clubs this year, so it should be a lot of fun. Obviously, it's the game of the week, so you know we're gonna stick to, or at least Charlie is, you know, what games are gonna be, you know, the best matchups for the week. So that's always good. So we just want to make sure that we have the right stuff on the docket.
That's right, and of course, right now because of the high level of competition on the boys' side of things in the state of Oregon. We don't have any of our local teams ranked in the top 10 of this early season coaches poll. We do have at the 2A level, our Regis boys are second in state. Cross Hill Christian is ranked number 10. But on the girls' side, we got a lot. We have number 7, West Salem in the 6A, and then number 10 is South Salem in girls' basketball. Down at 5A, Silverton is at 6, followed by West Albany at 7, and of course at 4A, Staten is number 1 in the girls' bracket, and Cascade's number 4, and 3A, Amity is number 1, and at 2A, Regis is number 1, and Cross Hill Christian number 7, and that's all in the girls' basketball, but that's all going to change over the next 2 months. So.
I was going to say, you know, there's a long way to go, Hunter. I mean, I think we're going to see
These are our preseason rankings.
Yeah,
so if any of these teams get left out of the tournament, they might throw a Notre Dame.
Yeah, and we all know how preseason rankings work. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when it comes to college football, which we'll get into in a couple of segments here. But, you know, everything changes.
Yeah.
Injuries happen and teams aren't necessarily as good as you think they're going to be. So, and that's a good thing.
Things go a little bit honky. And of course, you know, of course, we have the Capital City Classic is taking place this weekend. And a strong showing out by some of our local teams, and that can actually boost their teams up the rankings real fast. So, 100%. Because they're playing some national powerhouses, and that one, we talked a lot about that last week. It's going to be a fun weekend for high school level basketball coming up. But after this commercial break, our own Mike Allegor got a chance to talk with Les Garrett, who is the sports editor of the Albany and Corvallis newspapers. And they've really focused on Beaver football with the new coaching staff and the upcoming changes to the football team. So they're going to have that segment brought to you by Color Tile of Salem coming up right after this commercial break. And then Jeff and I are going to talk a lot more college football playoffs coming up as we continue on with the Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
Returning to this Friday edition of the Sports Ticket, pre-Christmas edition, hello everybody, Mike Allegor, sports announcer at KYKN, and with all of the bowl talk coming up here, especially with the Ducks coming up tomorrow and all the playoffs, one thing has kind of been left out just a little bit has been how the Oregon State Beavers are faring now with a brand new head coach, almost a completely new coaching staff by this point. And with me, with the man on the inside view for many, many weeks, days and months now, is the sports editor for the Albany Democrat Herald and the Corvallis Gazette Times. It's Les Garrett, and we've had Les on a few times before. Les, thanks for joining us.
It's nice to speak with you. And for college football fans, it's a great time of year. Lots of football. There's football on my TV right this moment.
Well, you know, it is a good thing right there. And then, of course, when we come off of watching the Thursday night comeback by the Seahawks, I mean, you just can't help but stay energized about football, be it the NFL or college. And since we're talking about the Pac-12 and one of the two remaining teams in that Pac-12, that's Oregon State, obviously, unless you've been under a rock for the past few weeks, we know that the new head man down there is Jamarcus Shepherd, who comes in from Alabama via Washington and several other locations. And I think from the first 15 minutes of his news conference until just recently, Coach Shepherd has already made an impact from an emotional energy, excitement, new feel. I mean, this guy, I don't think he's all talk and no action. I think he's all action, and the talk just backs him up.
I think he's got a real outgoing personality. And I think he's also a person who nothing's been given to him.
No.
You know, he played Division III football. He did not step straight off of the Division III playing field into a college coaching job or anything like that. He worked in other fields for a while before getting back into coaching. He's worked his way up. And I think he has a great deal of self-confidence and self-belief because of the path that he's chosen. But he definitely has Oregon State needed to turn the page after going 2-10 last fall. All kinds of problems on the field, problems off the field, problems with the NIL blueprint sports situation in the athletic department that really annoyed a lot of fans. They needed to turn the page, and Jamarcus has helped them do that.
Well, you know, when you think about what he's done from the opening day, one of the key things he said in his opening, other than just the way he talked and addressed people, which I think is his normal way, is that he said, yes. And by the way, alumni, I want you back. I want you at games. I want you as part of this process. And he meant it.
He's wanting to emphasize that he, you know, he himself doesn't have a connection to Oregon State University, but he wants to build that relationship with former players. And one thing that was interesting about the process was that after the hire was made, former Oregon State coach Mike Riley, who was one of the main guys on the search committee, he came out and just spoke how from the very first, the search committee kind of recognized Jamarcus as the guy they were looking at. They identified him quickly. They were super impressed. And that, and according to Riley, that's how that process fell out. Is they identified him early on as a guy they were very interested in.
I think his background and where he has been, when you think about the influences he's had as a coach, an assistant coach at Alabama, and under Kalen DeBoer at Washington, Wazoo, yeah, other places, he has picked up so much along the way that I think all he's going to do is make things better as he changes the culture.
Let's be honest. For the last few seasons, if you've had the opportunity to watch some Oregon State football, the offense has been a bit boring. It just simply has been, relied heavily on the running game, and if they couldn't run the ball against the team, they were in a great deal of trouble. The hope is that Coach Shepherd and his staff maybe modernize this offense a little bit, bring the Beavers into the current age.
Right.
Now, he talks about wanting to run the ball as well. I think every coach is going to want to talk about that. But I think the real hope is that they can modernize this offense and maybe make a little bit more exciting style of play.
Talking with Les Gerethy, sports editor at the Gazette Times and Democrat Herald. Mitch Dolan's been brought in, and here's Mitch for 2 years down at the University of Alabama as the assistant offensive coordinator and a quarterback's coach that down there, and also at University of Washington. And here's a guy that had a little bit of influence on guys like the Huskies' Mike Penick, Jalen Milroe, and a few other. Yeah. These guys have had their fingers dabbled in top 10 programs, and that does nothing. With just the mind that Dolan has, I just think that right there has helped put a big Band-Aid on that.
You certainly hope so. You know, he's had experience doing this at top-notch programs. That that Washington team, we've got to see them. You know, when DeBoer and the staff were at Washington, you know, the couple of years there, we got to see them up close and personal because that was still the last days of the Pac-12. So we got to see that team, Romeo Odunze and those receivers. That was an awfully impressive bunch and a lot of talent. And so Dolan and Shepherd were part of that. And so we're hoping maybe some of that fairy dust can rub off here at Oregon State.
One last coach I want to mention, and if anyone's been a Beaver fan for the last 25 years, they know the name Inoki Brechterfield, and he was just recently named as the new D-line coach. And this guy has got a resume as well, and I don't mean just because it's on paper, but, you know, it's what he has done. Not only as a former AP All-American at Oregon State in 95 to 98, but what he's done at the college level and how he's helped develop players and programs.
And again, if you watch some Oregon State football the last couple of years, one of the problems has been an inability to create any push up front. They finished with just an almost unbelievable 7 sacks in the 2024 season. That's not in a game, that's in the entire season. And then this year it was better, but it still wasn't good.
No.
And so the hope is that Brechterfield and that defensive staff can help them not only be strong against the run, which you have to do, but create some ability to create pressure on the quarterback, be able to get off the field on third down, and not just let teams roll downhill on you, which... there were times the last couple of years where this defense just was not what it needed to be.
Brechterfield just came off of 2 years coaching the D-line over at Baylor. In fact, he started his career well after college as a volunteer assistant coach at OSU way back in 06, grad assistant D-line coach 07, 08, and then moved on to just get better. Well, enough about the assistants. One of the things that's coming up in less than 2 weeks is the entry into the portal. We've already seen that we've lost one of our young star quarterbacks out of Wilsonville that's going to be moving on when the portal opens up. How about big names? Do you know of anybody less that is, I would say, a consistent starter, maybe an all-conference player that's going to put their toe into the portal?
I don't want to say any names. We've all heard rumors in the background, but that's not fair to them.
No,
say names. But some guys are going to leave. That's just reality. And that's not just an Oregon State situation. That's an everywhere situation. Guys are going to get offers and opportunities opportunities in terms of playing time, opportunities in terms of maybe a program that's at a different place right now, and then the obvious opportunity of a check. So that's going to happen. Now, it's been pretty slow so far that as far as names going into the portal, we've only seen, three of them that I'm aware of as of this morning. I need to check Riley Williams and Guttridge, and then the defensive back that came from Florida State,
right.
Conrad Hussey, he dipped in and is going to dip back out. The portal officially opens January 2nd. We will see more names. What I'm more excited about is to see the names that Coach Shepherd brings in. And I got no idea where they're going to come from, but I think there's going to be some guys. He has recruited, he's coached all over the country. He's developed contacts all over the country. I think this relationship that he's got with some of these coaches here, there, and everywhere, I think they're going to send him some guys. I think he talked about it, and I have no reason to think that he's not telling the truth, that he's got some contacts out there that would love to see some guys play for him. I'm excited to see what he brings in. And as far as like the quarterback situation, they lost Callen, obviously. We don't know what's going to happen with Murphy and Jabari Johnson. And the expectation is that maybe Tristan Tia would stay. He finished the year in a good place for the program. But who's going to be the quarterback next fall? I think fans are excited to find out who that might be.
I guess one of the big things is not just the guys on the team here, as we talk with Les Garrett of the Corvallis Gazette Times and the Democrat Herald out of Albany. Here we are going to this crucial time, and when recruiting is going to be big, I imagine he's going to be flying as he moves into Corvallis with his family and all his assistants and get them settled. They're going to hit the ground running, but right after Christmas, I'm sure, if they haven't already, and just start knocking on doors. But he's also going to have to be rebuilding that fan base a little bit.
It's been a tough few years for this fan base. The breakup of the Pac-12 conference was disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
These 2 years post Pac-12 have not gone well. They turned to a beloved figure from the program's past in Trent Bray to try to hold things together. And that might not have been completely fair to Trent, and it didn't go well. And it was just a rough couple of years. Nobody thought this was a 2-10 football team. The expectation coming into the year, this was a team that could go 6-6, 7-5. I predicted 7-5. I knew that the schedule, there were some tough games early, but the schedule on the back end was so soft, I just thought they could get to that 6-7 win mark and get to a bowl game. But it didn't happen. And obviously you saw that reflected in the crowds at Reser and the level of enthusiasm. It's tough to sell a rainy Saturday in November with a 2-win football team. That's a tough sell. So the injection of some energy and some hope and some belief with Coach Shepherd and this new staff, but I do think it's important to give Coach Shepherd a little bit of time. And as an example, you look down the road to San Diego State, and they brought in a new coach 2 years ago, Sean Lewis, after the Brady Hoke era kind of came to an end of that run. And in his first year there at San Diego State, Lewis went 3-9. Not great. But this last year, they won 9 games. They're in a bowl game. They looked really good. And they're coming into the rebuilt Pac-12 conference next summer, maybe is the team to beat in 2026. So, but he did that after going 3-9 in his first year. I don't know if that's what's going to happen with Coach Shepherd in his first year, but if he does, there just needs to be some patience about taking some time to rebuild this and give him an opportunity to do that.
It's going to be an exciting time in Corvallis, unless it's going to have his foot into it. If you'd like to read, just go up to GazetteTimes.com.
That's correct.
Les will keep you in the beaver know, if he will. Les, first, thank you for coming along today, being part of Sports Ticket. Merry Christmas to you, and I hope to talk to you right after the first of the year to see how things are looking.
Always fun speaking with you, Mike, and sometimes in person at Oregon State games and sometimes on the radio. We always appreciate it. I know Most of your market is, much of your market is Oregon Ducks fan. It sure is an exciting weekend for them with a home college football playoff game tomorrow against James Madison. That ought to be a lot of fun down at Autzen.
It will be. Les, again, thanks for giving us the Bieber perspective. He's Les Garrett. I'm Mike Gallagher. Thanks for joining us. More coming back here on the Sports Ticket, sponsored by Color Tile, here on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Thank you so much, Mike and Les. I am excited about the future of Beaver football. I think this coach is bringing such a change in what they need, and in part the realization of the state of college football today. Because knowing you're not going to compete for those five-star prospects across the nation if you're in Oregon State, and realizing that it's a waste of time and energy to go out and send guys, you know, to Texas or Florida to look at some of these top high school recruits that are never going to come to Oregon State. Let's just be brutally honest about it, you know. But also hearing about the kind of connections that the new head coach has nationally, and feeling like he may get some recommendation from these Power Four conference coaches that he has relationships with to say, hey, here's this guy. We think he has a ton of potential, but we need to see him play at the college level. We're going to recommend he come and play at Oregon State. I think that's a huge boondoggle and an advantage for the Beavers. And unfortunately, we have to be honest with the reality of things, because here we are currently right now. There is a college football playoff game going on. We got three more tomorrow. And did you know, Jeff, there's been 8 bowl games played already?
No, that's crazy. But you know what? I think before I even get into a bowl game, I'm going to need to head on down to Bonevine Burger Bar and pick up a burger and some fries.
We might be able to just spend all day Saturday out there. You know, imagine how you good burgers, milkshakes, some colas, and even some nice brews you could enjoy while you spent the day watching college football.
You know, that's probably true, but I'm going to be somewhere else, you know, for part of
an
the day
undisclosed
tomorrow.
Location.
That's exactly right.
Not at Bowenvine Burger. Oh, no. You just spilled the beans. We know it's not Bowenvine Burger now.
Because I would have had to disclose that.
That's right.
But it is still undisclosed.
Yes.
But yeah, Ducks are taking on James Madison Dukes. That's kicking it off at 4:30. Tailgater show starts from 1:30, goes till 2:30 before we hand it on over to Jerry Allen, Jorgie, Joey Mack, and the whole crew, bringing it on through the Oregon Sports Network. And they do a phenomenal job. It's great. And this is it's the first time we've had a college football playoff at Autzen Stadium, so it should be a lot of fun. It should be kind of a blowout, I would imagine. But people are trying to make this thing, I think, a little closer than it really is going to be. I think it's going to be a lot like the Rutgers game that we saw at Rutgers, where the Ducks just kind of steamrolled. They're not going to be able to stop them. I mean, the Ducks, they haven't seen a team like this ever all year long. It's just and it's not their fault. It's just their conference. And Big Ten, I mean, whether you want to believe it or not, I mean, they have the top three teams in the nation right now. You got Indiana, you got Ohio State, and you got Oregon. And I think the SEC, I mean, people can argue that, but I think at this point, the computers kind of align with my thinking as well. If it was to be up to the computers, it would have been in that scenario, in those rankings. So, I think James Madison, they've got a rude awakening coming at Autzen Stadium.
And I look at the way this thing is setting up right now, where last year we talked in the inaugural 12-team playoff, we talked about Ohio State had the easiest road, and they had to go through Oregon to get to the national championship. But Ohio State played Oregon coming off of a big win in the first round game, while the Ducks had sat on their rear ends for a month. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, you cannot simulate game conditions in a practice field. Period, end of story.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I think that playing a game, gearing up for your serious opponents is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because you got Texas Tech coming up next, and they've had a bye. They beat BYU in their championship game of the Big 12. And I think they're in for a rude awakening too. I think that they've been touting they've got a great defense, Texas Tech. Maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, thinking that we're going to get by James Madison, but I really think that we are. And the Ducks, that is. And yeah. I still think that Texas Tech is not going to know what's going to hit, especially offensively. They haven't seen an offense like this. Well, I mean, they did destroy BYU twice.
And we're going to flip the schedule a little bit, because now the Ducks are going to be coming off of a warm-up game with James Madison and facing Texas Tech on a neutral field. And I just think that they are going to be able to take to Texas Tech, showing them something they haven't seen yet this season, which then with that level of momentum, facing Indiana in a rematch.
We'll see.
I'm kind of going, that game is definitely going to be a toss-up when you're talking about the number one team in the nation. But at the same time, I think they have a feeling they're going to be in pretty good shape.
Well, they're supposed to be getting a number of their receivers back. You got Gary Bryant Jr., DeCorian Moore is supposed to be back, and Evan Stewart even. I mean, blew out his ACL in spring camp last year or this year, and all three of those guys back. And then you got Sadiq, you got Johnson. I mean, you've got a whole slew of guys that can just come in and out. They're going to be extremely fresh. And there's news that Dante Moore may go pro. Don't know. Me personally, I would discourage that. I think he needs one more year, but that's just me.
I think it all depends, because, you know, the way it works now, these guys will chat with an agent who's going to say, here's our predicted point in the draft where you're going to be. And they will probably show them both options. You go this year, you know, you're going to go behind Mendoza and, you know,
saying he might be the first round pick.
Well, yeah, a first-round pick is awesome, but you come back for one more year, and now maybe you're the first overall. I mean, I definitely think that I'd love to see him back in Duck colors one more year, but that's where the decision's going to come down to, what are the prospects, what are we looking at, where are we likely to go, and what teams are in a position to draft a quarterback. Are you going to end up somewhere where you're sitting on the bench behind somebody? Are you going to be somewhere where you can step on the field on day one and compete?
Well, maybe he's also thinking that Will Stein, I mean, obviously he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. He's going to Kentucky. And then you've got Tapoy, a defensive coordinator. He's going to Cal. Uh-huh. And so, I mean, you're losing both of your head offensive and defensive coordinators, but it's next guy up for the Ducks. I mean, I think Lanning, I mean, I can't remember off the top of my head who the offensive or the new offensive and defensive coordinators are, but I think they were the assistants. And so we'll see what happens.
Well, and this is what is a very typical of a successful college program. Let's just put it that way. Your assistant coaches move on to become head coaches when you have the success the Ducks have had the last couple of years.
And I agree with you. And I think I think Dante's decision is really going to come from how they do in the college football playoff. If they win it, he's gone.
Yes. Yeah.
He is gone.
Leave on a championship note. I'm sitting there going, do you blame him?
No.
Exactly.
Absolutely not. And even if they get to the championship game, I still would say, okay, I think you got there and you're good. You've done enough. But yeah, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a fun run, no doubt about that. So we got a game going on. We were talking about Indiana earlier, taking on either Alabama or Oklahoma, who's playing right now. That's going to be a good game. That's going to come down to the wire.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a big-time matchup. And as much as historically I am anti-Oklahoma, I would love to see Oklahoma beat Alabama this year one more time, because, gosh darn it, Alabama probably shouldn't be there, in my opinion, with three losses.
I agree with you, and that's a whole other scenario, and I'll just talk about it a little bit. I mean, Alabama with three losses, they just get absolutely destroyed by Georgia in their championship game for the SEC, and then they don't go down a spot at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Virginia. We talked about this last week. Virginia goes down a spot, and who else?
BYU dropped
two. Went down, and yeah. So they're out, and yeah, the whole thing is just kind of fishy to me. And obviously Alabama, they won Alabama in because they have a huge following all over the country, and it just is what it is. But I believe they're going to get beat tonight.
Okay, I'm right there with you. Let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
Hey, welcome back to the final segment of the Sports Ticket on this fine Friday evening. This segment being brought to you by Domino's, where you can get that 79 carryout three-topping pizza, or you can order online and save 20%. Your
Boom.
Entire order.
Boom.
There it is. I love boom.
I love that you have these memorable phrases and memorable lines in commercials. I think it makes it so much fun to do this job when you get those kinds of things.
And we all remember them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it's great. All right. We don't have much time left, but a couple of games we did not talk about that are going to be played tomorrow. Actually, there's three, but we've got at 9 a.m., we've got number 10 Miami, who snuck into the playoff, taking on number 7 Texas A&M in Texas.
Yep.
Down at, what are they call that College Station, I believe. And that's a tough place to play. That crowd is going to be rocking in Miami. And Cristobal, they don't do very well on the road.
Well, Miami needs to show out. Miami needs to make this. They can lose, but it has to be a competitive loss. If A&M wallops Miami, you're adding fuel to the Notre Dame fire right now.
I think that they're going to get beat pretty soundly, to be honest with mm-hmm. you. But that's that remains to be seen tomorrow. And then
we have the game that you'll be watching from your undisclosed location. Number 11, Tulane at number 6, Ole Miss.
Well, when does that kick off? That kicks off at 12:30 tomorrow. So I might not. Yeah, I probably will be at the undisclosed location at that time. Maybe a little bit later. But Ole Miss is going to be Kiffinless.
Mm-hmm.
Tulane.
I don't think that's going to stop them from beating Tulane.
No, Tulane. I just don't think they have. Ole Miss is a good ball club. Their quarterback is unbelievable. That guy's a stinking athlete, and he's fun to watch. So could be. Could be another drubbing. I think, what is it? It's a 17.5-point spread.
Spread, yeah. So, and then, of course, one more game happening tomorrow at 1 p.m. Is the SCS Championship Semifinals. I just find it funny because it's Montana at Montana State, you know. So congratulations, State of Montana, for getting two teams to this point in the playoffs.
So where is Montana State? Are they in Missoula, or is that the University of Montana?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
It's Montana.
Billings?
They're all like the same place. There's only like one city in Montana anyway.
I don't know. Montana's so big, I can't keep track of it.
Well, but it's like any of those other, you know, states where they're huge, but there's only like one or two major cities. You just got to figure they're from one or the other.
Right. I think the same freeway goes through there. So you just keep going until you get there.
That's right. It's all there. And then, of course, the other FCS championship semifinal game tomorrow night, Illinois State at Villanova. So college football, it's in full swing.
Yeah, it's going to be a great run. It's going to be a lot of fun. So look. Really looking forward to this weekend. Yep. You can listen to the Ducks tomorrow. Kicking off at, we're kicking it off at 1:30 to 2:30. And then Jerry Allen, like we said before, Joey Mack. And then they're going to have all the play-by-play. It's going to be a lot of fun, exciting, and should be good weather down there. So I figured the Ducks are going to roll. All right. I think we're done, aren't we, Hunter?
We are. We're wrapping up. And
okay.
On to the next.
Trigger Friday, everybody. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.